In her seventh cold case podcast, Carol Verrell looks at the robberies of an Urbana bank 3 months apart in 2016. Stranger yet, it was the same man who pulled off the holdups, police believe. In both incidents, he entered armed, took money, and escaped. Police have few leads because the suspect was clothed head to toe, as the video at NewsGazette.com clearly shows. Verrell talks to detectives, bank officials, and even the teller who was present during one of the robberies in hopes of leading to new evidence that might help solve these crimes. We'll be back with her story after this. Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media Vice President, reminding you that we have a ton of podcasts available at NewsGazette.com every day of the week. From Dave Gentry's Morning Show to Scott Beatty's News Hour to Brian Barnhart's Penny for Your Thoughts. Head to our website, NewsGazette.com, and search for podcasts.
On Friday, April 29th in 2016, thousands of walkers and runners were in town with the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon on their minds. But there was one man who had something else on his mind. He planned to rob a bank, armed with a handgun. So on that Friday, the day of the 5K race, he headed to the First Mid Illinois Bank and Trust at 601 South Vine in Urbana, just south of Lincoln Square Village and about a block south of the Urbana Police Department. Three employees were going about their normal workday inside with no idea how their lives were about to be impacted. It all started to unfold that morning when someone outside the bank caught their eye around 11 and then again around 2:30 in the afternoon. Then, around 2:45, the day became anything but normal. Vice President, Regional Deposit Manager of the Decatur Region, Alicia Walters, describes what employees told her.
That day, apparently, they had seen an individual that walked in front of the bank from the basically end of block to end of block, which the bank takes up that entire section from street to street. And there is a bus stop to the, if you're on Vine Street, it would be on the south end there of the bank parking lot. So they often have people that hang out and wait to catch the bus. So they had seen an individual kind of walk back and forth with a backpack. And thought it seemed strange, but again, not totally unlikely considering you have students out there. So again, things were just busy in the branch. Well, lo and behold, that was the individual we believe that robbed the location. Came in masked. He, you know, pulled his mask down in that little corridor area. There's two sets of doors. Had pulled his mask down, so we weren't able to get wonderful footage at that time. Seemed kind of like he knew what he was doing and came in armed.
You can see the chilling security camera video on our webpage of the armed robber putting his mask on and then entering the bank, gun drawn. Urbana Detective Betsy Alfonso picks up the story.
He brandished his handgun, pointed it at employees right away, and demanded them to take him to the vault.
Did he say it verbally, or did he show them a note? Did he yell at them?
He said it verbally, I think in a demanding tone, take me to the vault.
Did he ever threaten to shoot anybody, do you know?
No, not that I'm aware of.
So then goes to the vault, gets his money, and then
and takes off. He leaves the bank and runs south and then west out of the area.
And that was the last anybody saw of him then?
Yes. When he did exit the bank, he took off his orange ski mask and put a camouflage baseball cap on when he was fleeing.
Detective Alfonso says the bandit was covered from head to toe with a disguise, which you can see in the bank photos posted on our website along with the podcast.
He had a orange ski mask on, he had sunglasses, black gloves, a black shoulder bag that went across his body, a dark long sleeve shirt, blue jeans. He was covered head to toe, disguising his appearance.
And including gloves, too.
Yeah.
Which prevented you then from getting fingerprints, then, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
Seemed like he knew what he was doing.
Definitely pre-planned, prepped for what he was about to do.
It also seemed like he knew the bank, too.
Yes.
Do you think that he might be a former employee or
any possibility? He could have been former employee, former customer, or current customer, just someone that's come into the bank a couple times and checked out things, cased it out. So there's any of those possibilities still.
after the holdup. In response, manager Alicia Walters says the bank upgraded the security cameras with safety of employees and customers in mind.
After the first robbery, we reviewed just the position and the coverage of our security cameras, and we made some enhancements there.
3 months later, on Saturday, July 16th of 2016, hundreds of people were visiting the weekly farmers market at Lincoln Square Village. Just down the street, Tabitha Lawless offered to help man a teller window at First Mid-Illinois Bank that morning due to short staffing. It's the same bank that was robbed in April. Tabitha was new to banking. She had just started working as a part-time teller at a different branch of the bank in April. This day was the first time she had been in the Urbana Bank, a day she will never forget. Her mother had just dropped off a donut for Tabitha at the drive-thru window. Tabitha was sharing it with the manager. They were the only two employees in the building.
And so we were getting ready to cut it in half, and I was standing there. So we were both standing there at the teller line. So we were facing out towards the doors so we could see. And Brittany just saw it first. Her eyes glanced up at the big fishbowl mirror first, and she immediately panicked, and I didn't really know what was going on until he was already in there, because she recognized him immediately just by the fact that he had a mask on. She saw all that. I was kind of late to the jump, and I look up and then I look across, and he's already in the bank.
Was he back wanting more money? The same gunman who held up the bank 3 months earlier. Sure seemed like it.
He moved pretty quick. He was in the door, in the middle of the lobby, and then up near, closer to the teller line at that point. So we weren't really doing anything at that point. We weren't answering the phone. Nobody was in there, obviously, and nobody was in the drive-thru either. So it was weird that my mom had just came through, and then that happens. Yeah.
So he was pointing the gun, had the gun raised?
He kind of just was, if you want my honest opinion, I don't think he was really threatening with the gun. He used his words to threaten more than anything, but the gun was kind of just backup. It wasn't like that was his initial form of threaten. And he kind of, just the way he acted with it, he was very like loosey-goosey. He almost like he wasn't wanting to use it, which I'm sure he wasn't. He wasn't there to hurt anybody, really. I'm 100% of that. He was there to get money. So he was just kind of non-threatening with the gun. And then eventually, you know, then he became more stable and with it, and he never really directly pointed it at me. If it was pointed in any direction, it was at Brittany. Mostly, I think it's because he was talking to her. I was just kind of a bystander to that point, because if it was the same person, then he knew her because she was there the first time. Get what he wanted and get out as fast as possible.
So he walks in, has the gun pointed. What does he say to you?
He actually demands to be taken to the vault right away. It was kind of like the world was going very slow, but really it wasn't. So with all that happening, he asked to go, and Brittany was panicking, but she went and got him and did what he asked. And then, you know, he kept saying, you know, get out of the way, like very just like not aggressive in a like, I'm going to hurt you, but just like, come on, let's go. Like, I'm not going to play around. Don't try anything stupid, like things like that. He was not being like aggressive, as far as he didn't really put his hands on anybody. He didn't yell a lot, and he didn't like cuss a lot and raise his voice. So he was like trying to code his voice a little, like disguise it. You could tell by the way he was talking, very like not normal voice. So he wasn't, I think purposely he wasn't saying much so that it was less of a clue of who he actually was. So
you gave him the money.
He, when we went in there, I actually had stayed on the teller line at that point. Brittany kind of guided him or walked with him, however you want to put it, back there. And he actually said, you need to come back here too. And because I was standing over by my station still just kind of panicking, because I actually didn't know where the panic buttons were, because that was my first time ever being in the branch. And then I also knew, obviously, not to pick the phone up. So I was just kind of frozen. And he like motioned slash asked, told me to come in there with them. And Brittany did the same. She kind of waved me. So we were kind of in the same spot. So he didn't do anything rash. So I walk in there and I walk in next to her. And at that point, she's, of course, you know, shaking and trying to open the vault. And she opens the vault and she's like, here you go. Like, just take it. Just leave. And she kept saying, get out, just take it and get out. And he had his bag and he was like trying to scoop the money in as fast as he could. He left the building and everything was done at that point. We ran and locked the doors and he couldn't get back in at that point. Shut the drive-through window, everything. It felt like a long time, but it wasn't. It was a matter of minutes. So I never actually, like, he never directly spoke to me, and I never directly spoke to him either. It was more of an interaction between him and Brittany, and I was just a kind of a bystander of all of it.
So what, were you thinking anything in that moment?
Yeah, I was scared, but I think the adrenaline really, like, took over. It kind of had me stable. It was weird because you're all the way up here, you know, panicking, but then the adrenaline kicks in and you're like fight or flight. And so I guess I was like right on that cusp of both, because I was like, okay, we're alive, everything's fine, he didn't hurt anyone, he didn't damage, like, any, he didn't, you know, try to shoot the branch, he didn't do anything, he just left. Great, leave. In the moment, I would say that during it, I was panicking.
It's hard to imagine how terrifying it would be for Tabitha and other bank employees to face a gunman, to look down the barrel of a gun pointed at you or a coworker, and not know what will happen, if the intruder plans to use it, or if something could set the robber off and the gun is fired. Detective Alfonso.
Something else is the employees are victims of this crime, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. I mean, it's very emotionally going to affect them. It's a very scary incident, very traumatic for them, and it's not just the bank that's the victim.
Detective Alfonso says just like in the first robbery, the suspect was hanging around the outside of the bank.
The employees did not observe the suspect before. What we found out was from the video footage is that he walked from the west on Oregon. He walked east towards Vine, and he stood near a tree at the corner of Oregon and Vine Street for about 10 to 15 minutes. Just watching the bank, watching customers come and go. And so unfortunately, he wasn't seen by employees then, but when we later reviewed the video, we saw that, yeah, he was out there for a little while before the robbery.
Did he have the mask on at that point, or just
no.
The cap? Or
at this point, he didn't have a cap or anything on
so
in this robbery.
So can you see him very well in that video?
No, it's just up too high, the angle of it. But for this, it would be super important. Lots of people may have seen him hanging around at that corner. So it's a busy area with the farmer's market going on. So a lot of people walk there, bike there, you know, drive there on a weekly basis. So if they remember seeing someone that just was sort of out of place, or just in general, seeing someone at that stop, that'd be important to note.
Once again on our webpage, you can see security camera photos of the suspect that Tabitha saw during the second robbery in July of 2016. And also you can see a photo of him running from the bank, where you might be able to recognize his face. Remember how the bank added security cameras after the first armed robbery? The picture of the robber running was taken by one of those new cameras. Even with a disguise, police have a general description of the suspect. He is white.
The age range for him is pretty open. You know, we can't quite tell from that. I mean, it's light-colored hair, but he could be anywhere from, you know, we thought maybe 30s to 50s. Got a thin to average, but small build, shorter in height.
And he wore basically the same clothes, except the mask was different.
The pants were different.
And the pants were different, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, they were all the same.
So he had the orange ski mask on the first one, and the second one was black, the ski mask. And then his pants in the first one were blue jeans, and pants in the second one were a black or dark-colored athletic pants with a bright green stripe on the side. I mean, they were just very similar. It's We're pretty certain it's the same person, did the same thing both times.
After the second robbery, the suspect ran west from the bank through backyards. Manager Alicia Walter says even more security changes were made following the second time the bank was hit.
After the second robbery, we did some just market analysis, and we closed the lobby for a period of time, and we did construction, and now it is a fully enclosed teller line. So it is a full service location, but there's a wall, there's bulletproof glass. It's just, we felt like with the two robberies, we're in an area that it's a higher risk. So they're completely blocked off from customer interaction physically, I would say. Mm-hmm. So
in both armed robberies, only employees were inside the building. And Walter says they did what they were trained to do.
We do typically yearly, we'll have an outside officer come in and do a training and say, here's what we're seeing. Talk about, what they suggest, which is usually mirrors our policy specifically, which is, when they come in, certainly give them what they want. Our first priority is the safety of our employees. That's the bottom line. But if they touched anything or left a note, to try not to disturb that in any way, whether it's place a chair, if they came up to a teller window, place a chair in front of it so no one touches anything. Same thing with the doors, try to avoid the areas that they may have touched. The other thing is we, try to encourage them not to talk amongst one another. So the description of the robber is solely what you have and, how you remember it, not what the person next to you did. Because sometimes that makes you think, oh, yeah, maybe I did see that, or maybe they did. So truly trying to keep your recollection of the event your own. But during the robbery, it's strictly just remain safe.
Other training involves being a good observer.
And occasionally we'll do random training, to say, okay, describe that last person that you waited on in the best that you can on your own, write it down, and then we'll share to see what similarities we've had. We've done training like that at the branch. But yes, always when someone walks in the location, it's not just great customer service to say, hi, hello, if you're with someone, I'll be right with you. That's also a security measure. So we train that as well. Just make sure people know that you recognize that they're in the building. Because, again, training will tell you that they case the place before they actually rob you. And always report anything that just seems out of the ordinary.
And if you are ever in a bank and an armed robber appears, what should you do? Detective Alfonso.
To cooperate, just to listen. Your safety is not worth getting involved. So just doing what's told, and again, trying to get the best complete picture of the robber if you can, and maybe focus in on a certain part, okay? If you're the customer and they told you to get on the ground, you're on the ground, and all you really see are the shoes. Pick out everything you can with the shoes, the brand of it, what style it is. Maybe there's writing on the shoe, or it's really worn or scratched, ripped in a certain part. Try to focus on something. When we have suspects in different crimes, it's good to note what they are wearing, but I would say more permanent features are better if people can remember that or key into those things, because you can always change your clothing or leave it somewhere else.
After the armed robbery, Tabitha continued to work at the bank's branch in the rural King's store in Champaign, until just recently when she was promoted to assistant branch manager of the Rantoul branch of the First Mid-Illinois Bank. She has not allowed the frightening experience of facing a gunman to get in her way of her career in banking.
I don't dwell on it anymore. Just because if I do, then it's just going to ask for, it affects my job, it affects how I perform, it affects what might happen if then another robbery were to happen. I don't want to perform poorly at that point due to something that's already happened.
As customary, neither the bank nor police are revealing how much money he got away with. Detective Alfonso says it's a tough case to solve because he was covered from head to toe in a disguise. Plus, he wore gloves, so no fingerprints were left behind either time. Police have hit a wall and are asking for your help. Did you hear someone say he had robbed a bank in Urbana or two banks? Or did you talk to someone who said that he or she heard the possible suspect talk about it? Look at the security camera photos and video, which could help solve this case. Do you recognize the armed robber as he runs from the bank, where you can see the image of his face? or from any of the other photos or video. Detective Alfonso has some help on what you could look for in the photos and video.
For the video, I think how the robber maybe walks, if they would recognize that, if it seemed to be someone that they know walks that way or that they've seen before. The clothing that seems familiar, just the general build of the robber. So stuff like that, if they can focus on that.
If you have any information, call Detective Betsy Alfonso in Investigations at 217-384-2330 or the main number for Urbana Police at 384-2320. You can also remain anonymous by calling Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS. Now that Tabitha has moved from the bank's secure environment of the Rural King branch to the standalone facility in Rantoul, she says some of that fear is back.
And when I moved from that kind of environment where I wasn't as scared or worried to this environment, a little bit of worry has came flooding back a little bit, but I don't let it hinder my ability to do my job, and especially telling, you know, my new tellers that I'm in charge of, this is what happened to me, this is what can happen, don't ever think that it can't happen. So, you know your customers.
I'm Carol Varell.